Welcome to We Are Libertarians.
Is that on?
Yeah, that was on. Way to talk over the intro, dude. That was not dubstep. That was Linkin Park. But maybe they've gone dubstep. So that's for
Isn't Linkin Park Vampire Hunter?
No. Did you guys see Abraham Lincoln Vampire
Is
Hunter
good?
Yet?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Oh, I haven't.
I haven't been to the movies in forever.
I'll see it for $1 from the Red Box. Maybe.
I think like the last movie I saw in the theater was Titanic.
You
mean the new one?
It just came out.
That's a joke.
Never mind.
So yeah,
it was a terrible joke.
Lincoln Park for the older curve of the listeners. They were popular when I was in high school. Oh, so long ago.
I remember when I was like
Lincoln Park was.
It had to have been before I was 15 because we moved out of my old house when I was 15. I remember when their first album came out. I called. I don't remember what radio station. I don't think it was X103. I called them and told them to play One Step Closer, and I called them for hours trying to get through. I mean, you got to remember, this is before, you know, Napster. I had a computer to download stuff on Napster with, and I called them for hours to get them to play that damn song.
Did they play it?
I think they did. I don't remember. I just remember doing the calling.
Even remember the success of it?
No. It's just one of them things.
He's
it's
a
like,
libertarian.
Why do you remember this part? But I don't know.
He's a libertarian. He deals with disappointment well. So.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for that.
Sorry. I turned away.
Anything else you'd like to expectorate on the air?
Did you have any good dreams or something? I think fucking 12:30 in the afternoon.
Captain Sleepyhead over here.
Hey.
He's an hour and 10 minutes late to do the show
today. I was
up
late working on show stuff.
Yeah, right.
I was. I'm going to blow your minds today.
I know. And so Creighton calls him. We're all supposed to meet here at noon.
Call me, I called him.
At noon. And so I'm late because I'm usually late, and I had a meeting on the south side.
And I was on time because I'm usually on time.
Right. And so Creighton.
I'm usually on time.
No, you're not.
I'm usually here before Spangle.
Yeah.
That doesn't count as on time.
Right. I usually have meetings, and then I run back to the office to do the show, and. So we're sitting there, and it's like 12:30, and we're supposed to start at noon, and we're like, where is Chris at? What in the world happened to him? And Creighton's like, I gotta go to work at like 2:20. He needs to be here. He finally gets a hold of Galt, and Galt's like, yeah, I've been asleep.
My alarm didn't go off.
Like, this shows...
It's 12:30.
It's 12:30 in the afternoon.
And he shows up wearing his freaking ZZ Top cheap sunglasses. Like, he just...
Whatever. I wear the sunglasses every day.
I know.
He looks like, I mean... What, like you fucking went out and partied all night, wake up when it's early in the morning.
Cocaine Chris shows up a little bit late, a little bit haggard. His eyes are a little red and puffy.
Cocaine Chris, okay.
Yeah.
I heard somebody on bath salts recently ate their dog.
Uh-huh.
Their family dog.
These bath salts, man.
But the guy in Miami wasn't even on bath salts.
He wasn't?
No. They just tested him, and the only thing he had in his system was pot.
Dude, he's a zombie, dude.
And no, he had the munchies.
It's a zombie apocalypse.
If you're gonna put your face out to the mic, Galt, say something.
I heard the guy that got his face eaten off though when he started coming to. The first questions he started asking was how Miami was doing in the tournament.
then he was like, "Do I look like Brad Pitt now?" Like, I've had plastic surgery. So yeah, so I wish I were 20 and in college again because I'm such a cranky old man. I'm like, it's 12:30. Why is he doing asleep? He's wasted half the day.
I apologize.
I do hate when I oversleep. It's like when you're actually asleep, you're like, man, I don't want to wake up. And then you're like, all right, I'll go back to sleep, day off. And then you wake up at like 12:30. You're like, man, now the whole day's gone.
If you're out there,
crap.
Really, you know, if you're a life coach, please get in touch with us. Go to WeAreLibertarians.com and comment on the Facebook page because this little man over here needs some help.
Comment about aura or energy, though, when you talk to us, we ain't dealing with it. You ever notice that? Life coaches are always like, his aura is so strong. His energy, I can feel it.
His second chakra.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah. You know, if you can't tell, we're just kind of pattering because there's not really anything to talk about this week.
I know. We're recording this on Friday.
I know.
I mean, I don't really know what happened.
Are you guys serious?
We could cover the new Linkin Park album.
Have you guys watched any of the news recently?
The news.
Yeah, I heard Miami. There's apparently a
the guy from
fire
Kentucky
in Colorado.
Got first round draft pick.
Yeah,
terrible fire in Colorado.
He
by
waxed
the way.
Waxed his eyebrows.
Worst fire in Colorado history.
Right,
it's 105 degrees outside.
It is the hottest one of the hottest days in Indiana history.
Right.
Hottest weeks ever.
Angela Buckman is now at Channel 13. It's big news, breaking news.
And I just saved a bunch of money by switching my car insurance to
Geico. So,
all right, who's going to make the Geico caveman joke about Rupert running for governor? Go ahead.
I guess you, because I wasn't. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I feel bad for the people in Colorado because, you know,
Their whole place is burned up.
My aunt and uncle lost their house, and my cousin lived with them at the time, and they lost their house in a San Diego fire. And it was, it was a big house, and houses in San Diego don't come cheap.
Oh, no.
And my cousin actually, took all of his insurance money 4 or 5 years ago and invested it all in gold in 2007.
What? Oh, my God. He's a genius.
My cousin is, like,
he's
26 and loaded.
He's
a millionaire. He's so loaded, it's not even funny, and I can't get a dime out of him. Really makes me mad.
Well, does he still have it in gold? I would try and,
oh, yeah.
I would put some of that into silver.
Oh, he's diversified over the years, so
it's gold and silver.
Brilliant.
Really, I feel like
you're just mad because you're not that smart.
Really, I feel like any general
exactly. No S.
I feel like any general commodity that's not dependent upon production to a large extent is going to do okay.
Turns Colorado wildfires into Austrian economics. This kid is amazing.
I know. That's why we keep him around. If he wasn't, we'd...
I know. Otherwise, we'd have Will
move
on
and replace.
Call Will up.
Will's not bad.
No, Will would be a great replacement for you.
Oh.
All right. So what else can we talk about this week?
I mean, we could... Let's put off. Let's put off the big one for a minute.
Okay.
All right. The Holder contempt charge.
I think I heard,
So what else can we talk about? We'll put off the Holder contempt charge.
No.
All right. Let's get into it. Let's talk about the Supreme Court decision that took place.
The largest tax increase in American history.
Yeah. So they ruled that Arizona's law is constitutional.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. We're going to stop effing around. I think it's been 10 minutes so far. And
do we really have to talk about it?
I don't know. How depressed on a scale of 1 to 10? How depressed are you?
11.
11?
I was 11.
I'm still 11.
I found a silver lining.
Chris is going to try and tell you.
No. Don't spoil my punchline.
No, he's
going to
try and show you a silver lining, but I will just give you a caveat at the beginning.
Oh,
we
my God. He
lost.
Won't even let me tell
we
you.
We lost. We lost.
I know we lost.
We
I know
lost.
We lost.
The forecast
but
calls for.
I said we were going to lose.
The forecast.
If you go back to like the fourth episode of this podcast, when we were talking about it, I said it doesn't really matter because the Supreme Court's going to say it's fine.
This is why I posted.
Someone's going to switch over.
On
I didn't
Facebook.
Think it would be Roberts.
Yeah.
I really didn't. But
I posted on Facebook today that there's a 90% chance of Galt's opinions annoying you on the show today. So, because I knew the first thing he was going to do when he walked in here and tried it in.
He's
like,
right?
Yeah.
I did like the meme drop. I did like the meme drop of brace yourselves.
Yeah. Everyone posted that.
Did you see that? I got like 10,000 shares on that stupid thing on my Facebook page. Ridiculous.
They made it the
That's
front
all
page
my
of
Facebook was talking about.
So,
though,
on a scale of depression, I usually exist at a 9. So it bumped up to a 10 yesterday.
Oh, man.
So, it was
existed
it was
at 9.
Really, you know, I am a pretty, I try to be an optimistic person. I don't know if I always succeed. And, you know, I try to look on the bright side of everything. And I am really hopeful about the libertarian movement, but I've always been a little pessimistic about the future of America. But this one seemed like a slam dunk. This was going to be one that we could win because, you know, Kennedy has a bit of a states' rights streak about him, you know, especially serving under Rehnquist, who is a great states' rights guy. There was just no way. I just never thought in a million years that Justice John Roberts would be the swing vote, and that
George W. Bush
he'd side
on the
left.
I said this before the show when I was talking with Spangle. I mean, Roberts. Yeah, I mean, I kind of would have seen him as kind of switching just because he doesn't really seem like he's too hardcore on anything.
Yeah.
But I mean, his reason for switching was what irked me. I don't know. I heard this, you know, in the coverage after the ruling came out, and they said that because he's one of those ones that's big on the popular opinion, and he wanted the people made their voices heard when they had he wanted the House to be the one that, and the Senate, and the people's representatives to be the one to take this way. He didn't want to rule from the bench and all this, and I was just, he's just a coward. He's a coward is what it was. He didn't want to go down in history as that guy, as that guy who turned down this thing, and whatever happens now for the rest of time, as you said, he's going to be an independent.
Yeah.
He could do nothing for the rest of his career that is any way liberal, but when the history books are written, he's going to be an independent.
He could vote
99%
of the time with Justice Scalia and Thomas. And he will still be the guy that upheld Obamacare. And, you know, in all the gloating that the Democrats were doing, you know, they got the right back for all the gloating that the right did over Walker.
Yeah.
Like Wilson Allen is a local Democrat, and many of you may be Facebook friends with him. And it's just like constant like, oh, yay, Obama. It's like, oh.
So did either of you guys actually read his opinion?
Yes, I posted on Facebook. I posted on Facebook one of his lines, like, because if you read his opinion, he goes through all the reasons the law would not be valid before he explains why it's valid.
Right.
So one of the things he says, and this is from my Facebook page, from Roberts' opinion, and Congress's choice of language stating that individuals shall obtain insurance or pay a penalty does not require reading 5000A as punishing unlawful conduct. It may also be read as imposing a tax on those who go without insurance. And then I added, well, that's a total save. Why wouldn't Congress just say individuals shall obtain Coca-Cola or pay a tax? Why shouldn't individuals obtain American cars or pay
so
a tax?
Imagine when every time you're in the auto zone and you're buying your oil and the guy says, would you like some fuel injector cleaner? It's only $1.99 on sale. When you say no and he says, then there's a $3 tax for that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is.
here's a little libertarian hypocrisy on our part.
You have to buy it.
We're constantly talking about how fees and user fees are just really taxes.
And now
we're just like, ah, this is a tax. Well, it's a user fee. But it's still the same thing.
Right.
I mean, you know, it is something that the government does all the time. But typically a fee, like if you park downtown at a parking meter – like you guys do when you come down to do the show, well, that's a voluntary fee. You're using that space. You're renting that space. No one is forcing you to do that. You could go park in a private garage.
We could walk.
I mean, they've used taxes for social engineering for a long time. I mean, get married, do all this kind of crap. But this is the first time that a tax is going to be used to promote activity.
Force.
To promote activity. I mean, yes, you could say that people tax activity all the time. You know, if you tax, you make this, you do this, you get taxed for it. But this is the first time you're going
to
be taxed for doing nothing. For doing nothing.
Silver
They're going
to
use the tax
that.
Code to make you commit an action as far as commerce.
You're right.
Oh, my God.
Silver lining to that.
All right, calm down.
The bill says that it bars the IRS from using its normal tactics.
Creighton's getting so mad he's about to eat Galt's face.
They can tax you, but they can't arrest you for not paying or for not getting health insurance.
Right, it's a civil penalty.
Yeah, it's just money. So,
right.
Unlike normal taxes, if you don't pay your other taxes, they can come and arrest you. Well, they can try.
Yeah.
But
or since nobody is safe from the IRS if you get audited, all they got to do is say, "Oh, you're not paying your health insurance tax. Well, we're going to audit you and then they'll arrest you for that." I mean, yeah, okay. So they're not going to get you for this particular thing, but they always have a reason. Everyone has the 1,000-pound weight hanging over their head of, "Oh, you didn't fill out that income tax form, right? Therefore, you broke tax law and you're going to jail." No, that's bull crap. It's over. They won.
Oh,
did Creighton. You draw anything out of? We heard what Creighton. Creighton's just.
I mean,
he's
speaking for.
Mode.
I think the world is ending, and I blame all of this on Canada. No, I'm just kidding. You know,
I hope people in Canada are listening to this because if you want, you can Facebook us and we will totally give you all the info on Chris Spangle you need.
Listen, Canadians, I'm on to you. 98% of you live on the border and we know why.
Come on, guy.
I've watched Canadian Bacon. It's your blueprint. So, didn't you see South Park, the movie?
Yes.
So, I actually know a couple Canadians that have listened to this show, so.
It's, no, you don't.
No
I
one
do.
Likes
you
it.
Don't,
even listen, Canadians
I know
don't like
Let's be
Canada.
Honest. No one listens to this show, and you know it.
That is not true.
except for Tim McGuire and John Muser. So, I know they listen.
Mentioned his name.
Yep.
He's going to be happy.
They get so excited when you mention their name. If you'd like a shout-out, please Facebook us at wearelibertarians.com and let us know if you
listen. We'll spend 10 minutes just listing off people's names.
Yeah. We got nothing else to do. Nothing else to talk about. I think it's just such folly. You look at Greece and, a system like Canada, no joke, has 30 million people, somewhere around there. You know, and that's the size. That's almost New York City and the New York area. And, you know, so it's – I don't want to say that's a manageable thing because Canada has less MRI machines than the city of Seattle, you know, which is far smaller.
Right.
And they – it takes years to get treatment. There was a case that we've talked about before where the guy went to the United States and got his brain tumor removed. And if he had stayed in Canada, he was going to die. So he's suing Canada to pay for his American hospital bills. And that's where we're headed. And it's this paternalistic view that government has. And we were talking a little bit before the show about this, that these people have good intentions. They see things that are wrong in society, and Republicans and Democrats want to fix it. You know, Republicans, whether right or wrong, think that if they keep gay people from getting married, they can save their souls. And the truth is that all they end up doing is discriminating against a certain segment of the population, and it doesn't keep people from the behavior that they're trying to fix. That's the way that they view it, right or wrong. Don't send me hate mail. Send it to the RNC, okay? And Democrats look at it and they say, well, healthcare is a real problem, so we need to find a government solution to fix it. It's all paternalism. And – you know, we as voters voted in because we like free stuff. It's hard to be a member of the right, a member of the libertarian right especially, and say that government has no role and it's not the best vehicle for fixing these problems. You know, the individual solutions are the reason that we exist as a country and why we grow and why we're better than Europe. And Europe is a great example of where we're heading. And it's a great example of the folly of libertarian government policies or liberal government policies. Oof, excuse me. If you look at Greece, they have a country where they have given the voters everything that they've wanted, and the voters have rewarded them with putting into place European socialism. And they're now at the brink of destruction, where the entire European economy is about to melt down. And if you look at Greece and Portugal and Spain and Italy, they have,
or Los Angeles or Detroit or Oakland.
Or Oakland or New York State or Illinois or California here in America, where they have grown government to a size that corruption becomes pervasive because the government is very powerful, so people want to buy off government and the government wants to be bought off and control things.
I mean, Stockton, then they just
filed bankruptcy.
Largest city.
And so government grows to a size that it is no longer viable. And it crashes and collapses. And so when it crashes and collapses, then we all listen to Paul Krugman and we pour money into it. And no matter how much money and how many euros and dollars that we throw into the banks of Greece and Portugal and Spain and Italy, it's never going to be solved. And so why are we still listening to these people? Because they clearly don't know what the hell they're doing. So maybe you ought to start electing libertarians because we haven't tried it our way in 100 years, and look at where we're at. Government is screwing up healthcare, and increasing the role of government in healthcare is only going to make it worse. And I had a discussion with someone this week. They said, well, I think government should fix healthcare because it's so expensive. It's clearly broken. And
it's,
I said,
expensive because they're trying to fix it.
And that's what I said. I said
it wasn't expensive. It wasn't nearly as expensive,
right,
even in relative terms, to the purchasing power of the dollar back before at least the 60s, if not the 50s. I mean, back before, you know, they started getting into the healthcare industry. I mean, it wasn't even relatively near as expensive.
This was the janitor to our building. So I evangelize the libertarian message wherever I can go. And so she was asking questions and it was the topic of the day. And so we started talking about government solutions and libertarian solutions to healthcare. And I said, look at it this way. Okay, do you know how much you pay for a doctor's visit? When you go into a doctor's visit, Galt, I assume you're probably on your parents' plan because you're in college. So when you go into the doctor, how much does it cost you?
Nothing.
No, I think the common answer would probably be their $20 or $25
copay. Their $20, $25
copay. Not very much at all.
If you look at your bill, it's $120.
Right.
for your regular checkup, for your sports physical, for your kids when you go take them for soccer practice in school and they get their checkup, that's $120. You are pulling. Excuse me, I'm having trouble with my pool and pull.
My pool.
You're pulling $120 out of the system, and you're putting $20 back. Okay, so that $100 is taken out of the insurance pool that could be spent keeping costs for other major surgeries low. And there's very few people out shopping for insurance. The people shopping for insurance are employers.
And it's not even
and it's, HR departments.
It's not just that though. I mean, when people don't care about price, they don't care about price.
But it is when, it's not just
the fact that, you know, you're pulling money out of a pool. It's also the fact that people don't care about the cost.
Right.
The consumers do not care about the cost of insurance because they don't have to pay the cost of insurance.
Right. They don't have there to be is, consumers.
There is no demand side restriction on the level of price that you get in the supply and demand graph because the price mechanism is not existent. This does not mean that insurance does not have a purpose. It just means that private insurance needs to be that. It needs to be insurance. It doesn't need to be a subsidy
right.
where you have a third party pay for all medical expenses.
Well,
and even on top of that, you also have the fact that government-controlled insurance, Medicare, Medicaid, they are ridiculously price-controlled. And they are they're using the same resources that private insurance is. And the price controls all price controls ever do is create shortages. I mean, yes, they can, in theory, create surpluses, but they're not keeping the prices up. They're keeping the prices down. So the government controlled parts are. So they're creating shortages. I mean, it's just healthcare, even before Obamacare was put into effect, was one of the most socialized aspects of the American economy, bar none. I mean, it's almost ridiculous to even consider that it could be the free market's fault that the healthcare was broken. And now all we've done is add another government control into the entire system. I mean, it's just it's the old caveat that everybody in, I mean, the Austrian economists always, when I read them, they're always like, government has a good job of seeing something that isn't broken, trying to fix it, breaking it, saying that there was that the free market ruined it, and then they have to control it some more.
Right.
I mean, that's essentially what happened here. And it's ridiculous. I can't stand when people say that the free market failed in healthcare, so government has to do something. It's like, are you kidding me? You're not even allowed to buy insurance from another state by law. You're not allowed to buy insurance from another state, and you're saying that that's the free market. Are you kidding me?
Okay, calm down. All right,
again, it is a bad day today.
Really getting amped up.
I was just going to...
And thanks a lot. I spent an extra hour with this maniac.
you were talking about people going in and not caring about the prices because of insurance.
Right.
And I think I talked about this before when I went and got glasses. LensCrafters had a sign outside that said, buy one, get one half off. And I went in, you know, all excited. I was going to get two pairs of glasses for three quarters the price. And go in, they're like, you have insurance? Yeah, I do. Well, then you don't get this deal.
Right.
Because we charge you full price. But don't worry, you're going to pay a little bit less, but you can only get one pair of glasses.
Right.
And I paid less, but the bill was, like, outrageous.
Right.
And all that money is just, it's really from everyone.
When it comes to healthcare, I mean, we are bad consumers. And this is my point.
This is
my point to the lady that I was talking to. I said, if you empower everyone to become consumers and you detach healthcare from if you detach healthcare from employers, and you'd have to do it by law because the law was created, now we have to undo the law. So it's not creating another law. So let's detach it from employers. The three of us, instead of getting healthcare from some monolith HR department,
right.
You become consumers, which means you start looking at the cost of bills. You start going to Angie's List to check on doctors. You start asking family members who are nurses and doctors, who's the good anesthesiologist? Because they all know it's just like any other profession. I mean, tell you who the hacks are in politics.
Look at LASIK eye surgery and plastic surgery. They're two medical fields that are not covered by pretty much any insurance or government insurance. And they have had a history of rising quality and lower prices. I mean, you can't really ask for better empirical evidence that letting the government out of the system does wonders.
Yep, that's a great point.
It really is. It's like right in the face of everybody's claims that, you know, it's broken and it's going to keep going up in price. The health – I mean, I actually had an econ teacher my first semester last year who said that supply and demand does not exist in healthcare, because if you look at the history, we've had increased supply and increased price at the same time. And I was like, you are a professor at a college and you sound like a middle school student. I mean, that was the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But
did you tell him that?
I did. I argued enough that she probably assumed I felt that way.
I can't believe libertarians graduate
But still, I mean, there are people out there that believe this stuff. And I don't know. I mean, I'm writing a bunch of stuff over Economics in One Lesson on my blog, and you can check it out if you don't want to read the book. But
you should.
It's like a summarized book.
Go to wearelibertarians.com and post the articles there.
I do.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right, good. I'm in charge of the funny pictures. I'm not in charge of the smart things.
One of the main things that he goes across in this book is the failure of people to see past the immediate consequences of an action. The failure of people to see that which is unseen, according to what Frederick Bastiat called that which is unseen. The broken window fallacy, the inability for people to look past the effect of a policy on one group in the short run and look at the effect on all groups in the long run. And when you look at the effect of all groups in the long run, 99% of the time these policies do the exact opposite of what you're trying to do. So this fallacy of the broken window is so pervasive in the modern economy that you read this book and you feel like he's talking about today. The only time that you really recognize he's talking during like 1940s is when he wrote his 1946 is when he talks about how the popular policy nowadays is to deal with farmers.
Yeah,
it's like,
he
yeah,
talks
this
about
is
some kind of dam and
yeah, he talks about the Tennessee Valley Authority and stuff. Yeah. And yeah, okay, this was written during right around the Great Depression. You get it.
Because the Tennessee Valley Authority, to give you some perspective, the Tennessee Valley Authority, that's what libertarians were pissed off back about in the 30s and 40s. Like, that was the TSA of the 30s and 40s.
But even today, if you take a basic high school history class, when you get to the Tennessee Valley Authority, it'll be like, modern scholars and opinion has basically come to an agreement that the Tennessee Valley Authority did wonders to get us out of the Depression.
Right.
And, like, I mean, it's part of, you know, the historical narrative now. But, I mean, you read this thing and you think you're reading about today's headlines. I mean, it's...
Well, the way he explains the window fallacy is great.
Yeah, it's just great... He's so good. He's so eloquent at explaining, like, but, I mean, if you guys are interested, go ahead and check it out.
It's an easy read if you actually read the book, too.
I always like the page views, but...
If you could maybe do some funny pictures about the book, then that would help me.
Oh.
I don't like to read.
He's a picture book guy.
Yes.
I'm just kidding.
Four paragraphs or a funny meme?
Well, guess what gets less more
is
shares?
More. Less
guess
is
what
more.
Gets more shares? Yeah. Well, and guess what gets the message out? I mean, that's why The Forgotten Man, I think, is an important book to read. I did actually read that book. And it talks about the Tennessee Valley Authority and some other, you know, government interference. And I think it's a good book to read. And so that's why libertarians completely disagree with this act, because it infringes on states' rights. It infringes on individual liberty. It's paternalism.
Individual rights.
And it is now the government. All bets are off.
I mean, there is no limit. There is no limit to what the government can tell you to do now.
Spinach is important for your diet. Lots of good vitamins, iron.
That's what
minerals.
I was just about to say.
Yeah.
That I can really, really see this heading into the future where you work and you don't get a paycheck. You get a healthcare card and a food card. And on the food card, you have to buy certain things because they're good for you.
That's what
it can lead to.
It's going
to
breed monopolies upon monopolies.
All they have to do is say, if you don't buy cucumbers,
you're going to see the population of Washington.
Monsanto already controls our food supply.
You're going to see the population of Washington, D.C. and the surrounding areas go through the roof from all the lobbyists that are going to move there, saying they're going to lobby for legislation that does exactly for what Obamacare did for private insurance to do with their industry. Monsanto is going to send more lobbyists saying that now it needs to be illegal to buy anybody's corn but Monsanto's.
Said they can do it.
I mean, that yes, it's now legal for the government to say if you don't buy what we tell you to buy, we're going to tax you. I mean, a private business could not dream of anything more perfect.
And people will argue, the government didn't say you had to buy a certain kind of insurance. You still can pick whatever insurance
you want.
Right,
it's a free market solution.
So I have a choice between this kind of cucumber and this kind of cucumber.
Right.
I still have to buy cucumbers.
Yeah. I was listening. I don't like cucumbers.
I don't want a cucumber.
I was listening to my very favorite podcast, and that, you know, even
it's
more
ours, right?
Even more favorite than this.
What?
The Mike O'Meara Show, which is a really funny comedy podcast. And every day they talk about the issues of the day, and the host, they're all liberals and Democrats, but they're not like politic. They're just kind of general observers, you know, and so they're not really that informed, to be honest. And if by the small chance
you like it, they make you feel smart.
Right. I just scream anytime. They rarely talk about politics, but when they do, I scream at the radio. It's like, you don't know what you're talking about. And so yesterday, one of the guys, the host, made the comment that, you know, I'm really glad that this didn't get overturned because it just would have been a boon for the insurance companies. You know, and big insurance just is so corrupt and so like, that makes no sense at all. Big insurance is evil. Therefore, the government must pass a law to make you buy insurance from big insurance.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I know. It comes in part because people see, you know, it's all about messaging, really. I mean, the Obama administration said we need to pass new health care to stop all these big, bad insurance companies from raping consumers while taking billions and billions of dollars from private insurance companies to say so because they were probably his biggest supporters during his election campaign. And then he goes out and says that we're going to attack.
Actually, the financial services industry, you know, the people who got the bailouts and didn't give the money.
I know,
to the
but private insurance companies they donated a crap ton of money.
Right.
More than McCain, if I do believe I think so. But anyway, he goes out, he messages saying that the big bad insurance companies are what's destroying all of the health care. So we need to pass health care reform. Therefore, everyone immediately assumes that whatever Obama passes must be bad for private insurance companies. And therefore, you know, that's how it's going to be. Regardless of the fact that the freaking health care law says you have to buy private insurance by law or you're going to get fined. I mean, you cannot ask if you're it's like the East India Company during the 16 and 1700s. You were the East India Company was the only company allowed by Great Britain to do what it did. You could not ask for a better market. I mean, you're getting a legal monopoly. You're getting protection from all possible competition. There is no incentive. There is no pressure to raise the lower costs. There is no pressure to lower prices, and there is no pressure to increase quality. Because if people don't buy your stuff, they get fined. I mean, honestly, I don't understand how people can have this go through their head, and not be just not want to revolt tomorrow. It's infuriating.
Every Tea Party Facebook page that I like, you know, the tax revolt, the revolution started with tax revolts. So put on your tri-corner hat. And like maybe there's some wisdom to that. But
I wonder what
you know,
think right now. Taxed enough already, and now it's the largest tax increase in American history, or actually the history of the world.
I actually
they're gonna make Obama own that.
I actually have. I was talking to Spangle before we started, and I was relatively down and blue,
and I still am.
But
I had. Give us your rant.
I wanted to write down my rant in order to better express it. And to my comic book friends, you'll know you should recognize generally whose ideas I'm stealing here, but I'm not going to tell you. Because
don't take all of the last 20 minutes, okay?
Please start this with, Dear America.
It's two paragraphs.
Okay. That's okay.
It's not Dear America.
Usually it's a love letter.
But
for
when
us.
You're done with those two paragraphs,
not,
you'll go on.
No.
And you'll go on.
No.
I'm just messing
with
you.
At least he prepared.
I just wrote it on my phone.
Uh-huh.
I got two paragraphs exactly.
I would have said it out right off the top of my head, but I know that I always say you know and I mean a lot when I'm trying to think of things to say. So I want to write it down because I recognize that when I listen to the podcast.
So please start. You know? Okay. Both of you can read your thoughts and start with Dear America.
Anyway.
Go ahead, do it.
So anyway, I'm getting to the point where I just want to sit back and say you win. I want them to have everything they desire. I want the sanctimonious looters, the self-righteous guardians of the police state, the rabble crying to the state for them to save them from responsibility, the pitiful who desire to sacrifice their freedom. I want them all to get what they desire, and I want to allow them to have it with no resistance. And when all of the products of their good intentions and their incessant desire for passivity pile up around them, and they witness the world as they have built it, as they have always wanted it, and when they cry out to we who have stood for freedom and shout, save us, I will shout back, no, you had a choice and you made it.
Sincerely, Creighton.
Wow.
You want to read yours now, Galt?
Oh, no. I'm not going after that.
Man, that was intense. I felt like I was listening to Ned Stark.
I don't even know what to say to that.
I know.
That's how I feel, though.
Well, we have to say something, because, it's radio.
You can't stop fighting, Creighton. You can't.
I want to go Galt. Not you, Galt, but John Galt.
Because otherwise you'll just lay in bed all morning.
yourself a little Atlas.
Covered in Cheetos and...
What? That's not me.
Are you naked in a beanbag chair eating Cheetos?
All right.
Yes, sir!
Do you want to donate me $100? Close!
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. It is just, we've gotten what we've deserved. This is the byproduct of the Bush years.
It's not too late. But this doesn't even go in effect till 2016.
It doesn't matter. It's going into effect.
We got 4 years. No. You can still stop bills other than the Supreme Court.
Yes,
I said that in episode four.
You can.
That we need to look at a different way to stop it because the Supreme Court's not going to do it.
Please review a previous episode where I was smart.
Yes, I think state nullification could be used, but it's not going to be.
Why?
Because there isn't enough support for it. And there's not going to be enough support for it. And people...
I disagree. I think there is.
I think Tom Woods
did... But I don't think that's the way we have to do it now.
Tom Woods did the best he possibly could. He wrote an entire book explaining it from a completely constitutional standpoint, explaining past precedent that Supreme Courts and federal courts have had, explaining how nullification is not like the Southern strategy to keep slavery. He explained how the left has used it more than the right. He did the best anyone ever could, and the most that came out of it was some Idaho governor tried to use it and then got scared to death and stepped back.
Yeah, but Tom Woods did a great job of explaining it for and to libertarians. And that's the difference, is you can't give up and you can't stop fighting because there's 70% of the nation that doesn't even vote. And it's a totally rational reaction to an irrational system. And, that's part of what Rupert's campaign is about for the Libertarian Party of Indiana. It's reaching out to the people that don't vote, explaining that you do have a voice, that lifetime politicians can be kicked out. And here is a person who has donated their life to helping others as opposed to helping themselves, and the whole campaign is geared towards reaching out to the 70% that just don't vote anymore, because the 30% that do vote are making bad decisions. So we need to not only speak out to that 30%, but also the 70% and bring hope back to the system, And so people like Tom Woods do a great job of preparing people like Rupert to go out and spread the message. I mean – things like South Park do a great job of putting the libertarian message in front of society. It's culture. Culture advances things far more than studies or books or any of those academic exercises. You're attracted to them because you are an academic. You're a person that likes to read. Most people like to watch TV. And you look at the gay rights movement. Nothing helped the gay rights movement more than Queer Eye for the Straight Guy and Will and Grace and now Modern Family. Where everybody looks at it and go, you know what? Maybe they aren't just a bunch of weird perverts. Maybe they actually can, enjoy each other's company and live normal lives. I mean,
I've never seen any of those.
Yeah, but that's because you're too young to remember it. I mean, it's just one of those things that
my girlfriend watches Will and Grace.
Yeah, it's not that these are Not that Will and Grace is a good show. It just was.
Yeah, that isn't me like saying anything bad about gay people. It's just one of them terrible shows.
So, you know, things in culture advance messages far more than academic exercises like writing books. And the struggle for libertarians is to break out of their introverted shell and start reaching out to people at a personal level and connecting with people on a personal level, connecting with the culture.
You know what we need?
What?
We need a guy with a Guy Fawkes mask to pirate off every single broadcast channel in America at the same time, just like in V for Vendetta.
And broadcast We Are Libertarians.
But you know what? Those kind of fantasy exercises, libertarians also love science fiction. Those kind of fantasy exercises are probably not going to happen.
I know.
You know what? So
it'd be cool, though.
You'd probably do better if you just talk to the people in your life, like the cleaning lady at your office, or if you just talk to the people around you about the topics of the day. And, you know, that's part of the reason that we try to do this show is to, in some small way, help, you know, give you talking points.
Oh,
you know?
Whatever. We get it. We do this show so we can all three come in a room and rant about
it
stuff.
It is self-aggrandizement. We love the please go to wearelibertarians.com and tell us how wonderful we are. We love that.
So,
especially Galt.
We've said several times this show that the Supreme Court, the most important thing to take out of it is that they did not justify passing this by saying the Commerce Clause, expanding it, you know, blah, blah, blah. They said it's a tax, so they can do it by the tax clause, right?
Uh-huh.
That the federal government can levy taxes, etc.
Right.
Well, I don't know if people out there remember, but back in 2010, when they were trying to pass this, Obama and the Democrats argued over and over again that this wasn't a tax.
Uh-huh.
This wasn't a tax. They were doing this through the Commerce Clause. It's a regulation on the healthcare industry.
Right.
It's not a tax. Well, moving on from that, do you guys remember how this bill passed?
I do not.
It was introduced in the Senate.
Okay.
Because it's not a tax.
Right.
Then a different version of the same bill was introduced in the House. Both of those versions passed.
Okay.
But the House version was roadblocked in the Senate and did not pass. The Senate version did.
Right.
So the version we have today was introduced in the Senate, and the Affordable Health Care Act. And Article 1, Section 7 states that all revenue bills must be introduced in the House of Representatives. Now, they could get around that before because they said that it wasn't a tax. But the Supreme Court ruled that it is a tax now. So this bill can't be introduced in the Senate. It can't have passed from the Senate because it's a revenue bill.
Then the Supreme Court didn't strike it down on those grounds, though. Which means that they don't care.
Because those weren't the questions they were answering. It doesn't matter. The government changed their position when they went to the Supreme Court.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did.
No,
the government argued that it was a tax.
No, they didn't. They argued it wasn't.
Look at the arguments. They argued that it was a tax.
John Roberts went out of his way to make sure that it was considered a tax when the Obama administration, because they went at first, they had to say if it was a tax, then it couldn't go to the Supreme Court the way it did. So they said, no, it's not a tax.
Right. When once it got there, they changed their arguments.
No,
they stopped arguing Commerce Clause totally.
I'm 99% certain that the Obama administration was considering it was arguing that it went through the Commerce Clause.
So you don't know. I love that commercial.
You're the first person that has tried to tell me that they were arguing
it was
a tax.
It was a
and
tax.
You're the first person
that's
to tell
the
me
only
that.
Way they could get it through.
But they didn't. But John Roberts
all
went
right,
out
well,
of.
We'll
went,
move on.
He
you
went
look it
out.
Up.
But just to put this in perspective, it was going to be struck down on Commerce Clause grounds.
I know.
It
that's
was
why
go-
they changed
it was,
their argument.
Roberts changed it. Roberts changed it in his opinion. He went out of his way to make sure it got through.
That was not the. No. His opinion was not the first time that they said it was a tax.
He went out of his way to make sure that it got past the Commerce Clause
that's
argument.
That's fine. That still doesn't mean that they didn't argue that it was a tax. All I'm saying is we have a new way to fight it. This needs to be brought up to public attention. That's all I'm going to say. Because, honestly, I have a point. I mean, I do. I have a point. The article.
I'm not. Listen, I'm not denying that. I'm not denying that.
And if it was introduced in the Senate,
excuse me.
Now rule the tax bill.
Excuse me, Judge Roberts.
May I finish? Okay, I finish.
Judge Roberts. Clearly, I have made a point.
No, I got you, man. I'm not denying.
Well, I have.
I'm not denying that. I'm not denying that. What I'm saying is.
All I'm saying is the fight against Obamacare is not over, so you don't have to be depressed. I knew the Supreme Court was not going to. I mean, I guess I didn't know.
Right.
I was 99% sure that the Supreme Court was not going to strike it down and that we had to fight it another way. And I was thinking nullification, but I think this is a much better way now.
I don't think
they'll have to repass the whole thing through the House.
They're not going
They would have to.
They're not going
to,
though.
It's a revenue bill, and it can't be introduced in the Senate.
But the Supreme Court didn't strike it down on those grounds, so it's going to be. But it's going to be enacted anyway.
That question has to be brought up.
It's still going to be enacted. It's still going, as of right now, they are going to put Obamacare into effect.
If you don't do anything.
But that's what I'm saying. No one's going to do anything.
I
do not see any grounds being carried on those grounds.
The Constitution isn't solid enough ground.
Oh, you're so cute.
Okay, yes, it is solid enough ground. I'm saying that with
It says that.
I'm just, I know
Am
that's
I
what
wrong?
It says.
Am I wrong?
I didn't say you were wrong. Right. I'm saying that people today in America
don't care about the Constitution.
You're no. Right.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So
that's why we're here.
So my point is invalid because there is no Constitution.
No, I'm not
Correct.
Saying your point right. is invalid. I'm
good.
Saying that
that's
it being
all I wanted
used,
to hear you guys
no.
say.
Don't I'm mean, saying that it being used as an it being used as a means
we
to combat Obamacare is not going to be. It's not going to be exercised
well,
by those who would have the ability to do anything about it. Regardless of whether or not it's right or wrong according to constitutional grounds, people out there aren't going to do anything about it. We
people
lost,
don't need
man.
To do anything about
we
it.
We lost.
All right. Then I encourage everyone that's listening to pack their bags and move.
To where?
To some island.
Singapore.
Because
Singapore,
obviously,
yeah. You're going to get caned for spitting on the street.
If the argument that the Constitution clearly says something doesn't even work in this room, then I don't know what's
I am not
happen.
Denying that the Constitution says
but,
it.
And it's not
I am
work.
Denying
so, that. So basically, the government can say tomorrow that you can't carry a gun, and you're going to say, well, it doesn't matter that the Constitution says it because nobody's going to do anything about it. That's your argument.
No, yes, that's my argument, and people don't follow the Constitution. That's my argument.
People don't
using
need to follow
it
the
as,
Constitution.
No, they don't. In a, if they follow the Constitution, we would have no reason to
but
make this podcast.
People are not. You keep saying people.
If we actually followed the Constitution, I wouldn't have to work in politics, and that'd be amazing.
First of all, you should separate people from the state because
okay.
you keep saying people.
Okay,
and
the
state.
State.
But the people
mean.
Don't follow the Constitution either. They're the
people
reason.
People don't need to follow the Constitution.
People,
the Constitution's there to protect
people.
Them.
Are the reason we have the government we have.
Yes. The state, the people who have
stop blaming the politicians and start blaming
the
voters.
Individuals who have the means,
the
who have the position and power. Those who have the means or position and power
well,
to
it
take it to take it to your
men,
the only way I could see what you're saying happen is if like maybe Romney. By no way will this ever happen. But Romney would say since this was passed, this was originated in the Senate. I'm not going to execute it because it is an invalid law. He's not going to do that.
Well, he said, if you listen to his speech that he gave when they passed it, he said the fight against Obamacare is not over.
Yeah, I mean,
the
he's
only
try
thing
and push
the,
for repeal.
The only thing the Supreme Court did was say that it's constitutional. That doesn't mean you can't repeal it. That doesn't mean you can't replace it. That doesn't mean you can't stop it.
And it doesn't.
All it did was say it's constitutional.
And even beyond that.
That does not mean you have to give up.
Even beyond that.
Because
the
you just said so yourself the
power,
Constitution doesn't matter.
The power.
So what they said really didn't matter.
He's not saying that it doesn't matter to him. He's saying that the whole system
not,
is so rigged against the Constitution at this point when a Republican-appointed Chief Justice sides with the liberals saying that you now have to buy a product or service and helps them get around it. By calling it a tax, it means we're up S Creek without a paddle.
And the problem is, regardless of if they get it repealed or not, the power's been affirmed, and it's going to be used a lot.
That decision
and repealing
by Roberts,
Obamacare will
right.
not change that.
Because some other product, you know, it's not like they made us even buy something cool. Like, Pez or
Pez is cool.
Pez. Wow, we have an oldie in here.
That was good. Listen.
Oh man, he just said Pez is like, cool. I'm making a meme.
Fun dip.
I am making a meme.
Fun dip or
I gotta find a picture of
Smarties
space.
Or moon pies.
Moon pies. I don't know. I don't know why
moon
that
pies and Pez.
I don't know why that was the first thing that came out of my mouth.
Oh,
but
my
it was like
such a nerd.
I was gonna say weed and get Galt all excited, but
why me? You guys, I don't.
Because you're the one that woke
up
at 12:30
today.
You're
sitting over here with a big old beard, long hair, wearing cheap sunglasses.
And your Jesus sandals.
And
you
Jesus
were
sandals.
An hour and a half late. You're like, sorry,
and
bro.
You woke up at 12:30.
It covered in Cheetos.
Whatever.
I don't know. I'm just making a joke about Galt. So don't call it.
We like to kid.
Yeah.
So anyway, you guys should see more.
Could you put that out?
Optimus, put what out?
Put that out. The bong.
The what?
Thank you.
It's a podcast that you'll never know, listeners.
Yeah.
What? I'm so confused.
I know. Right, so if you weren't high, you'd get it.
No. All right.
Zing! Oh.
If you guys
we're just
look at the
around.
More optimistic things. Like I said, there's still a fight against healthcare and Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
There's
and
always
second,
a fight.
The second right. optimistic thing that happened today, or yesterday, was Eric Holder. He was charged with contempt.
Yep. He is the first cabinet official in the United States
hipstery. Hip, hip.
That's the history of the steampunk movement. So the you'll get it later. The first cabinet official in history to be brought up on contempt charges by Congress. They filed a criminal and a civil suit against Holder.
I have been watching this pretty closely. Honestly, I think this could have, maybe it's too late now, be like the biggest story of my life.
Really?
Yeah. But I some of the things the government has said have blown my mind. I can't even believe.
Like the government
they
came out and said that, like,
no,
you
listen,
could fit
listen,
three worlds
listen.
On the head of a pin, man.
What? No. One
it blew my mind.
One, they said that the government will responsibly find the leakers and prosecute to them to the full extent of the law.
The leakers of what?
Of the letters of all the conspiracy. The people who leaked
the leakers of
the emails,
the Fast
and
the
like
Furious,
the Fast and
yeah,
Furious
okay.
stuff. And I'm thinking, wait, they're going to prosecute the people that leaked your conspiracy, and you're not going to prosecute
right.
the conspirators,
right?
Okay. And then they, the DOJ, they said that this information was not supposed to be made public.
No, well, no ass Sherlock.
Well, that's not an argument for why you did it. They asked you why right. you did it, and they said. This was not supposed to be made public. Like, all right. So those two things blew my mind that they could even get away with saying that. I couldn't even believe they could get away with saying that.
It's like the telephone company from the old SNL
and then
skit.
No one finds it weird that Obama says executive privilege on these documents because they have my name in them.
It's, executive privilege has been used in the past. It started really with Nixon.
Right.
And then every time an administration has done something wrong, they've used executive privilege.
All the Congress has to do is subpoena for them.
Right. Bush did it with Valerie Plame.
It doesn't seem like they're going to do it, and it's – I don't know why.
I don't know.
Even if they don't find anything, they can do it.
I don't know.
The criminal charges were referred to the U.S. Prosecutor's Office in Washington for criminal charges against Holder, and the civil suit was filed, and that is to compel the administration to give over the privileged documents
okay.
and to start the process of appointing special prosecutors. I think that the Fast and Furious scandal, which we touched on at the end last week, I think it has. I thought from the very beginning, I could never figure out why no one was talking about it.
Right,
because it has the hallmarks of a Watergate type situation.
It does.
It has it's worse than Whitewater.
No one died in Watergate. It's worse than Watergate.
Whitewater is you know, Whitewater was a bad land deal with the Clintons, and that was like made into literally a federal case. You know, this is something that is it has real potential to bring down the Obama administration, and I think the fact that Obama is using executive privilege, there's a couple
it
ways
just
to look
means
at it.
He's hiding something. It's, that's how I see
executive
it.
Executive privilege is yeah is used
politicians as corrupt. So.
Right, and so executive privilege is used to protect the president. So either the president has had knowledge, which he's denied and has lied to the public about. He's had direct knowledge and intervention or interference in the Fast and Furious situation, and they're trying to protect the knowledge that the president had. What did he know, and when did he know it? Or he's using executive privilege to protect Holder, and it's an invalid use of executive privilege because he can't use it for just one of his cabinet members. But this was created and upheld by the Supreme Court, the Burger Court, during the Nixon era. And they basically said that it was a check on powers. Congress can't demand the executive branch. They can't compel them to always give over everything. So the Burger Court actually upheld that executive privilege is an essential check and balance on powers. So I think that –
what?
Yeah.
It's like an unchecked power.
Exactly. Right.
But, all right.
But see, this is –
the Supreme Court. Always defending liberty.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean the Supreme Court time and time again has upheld the power of the presidency. And, you know, it's no surprise that the president has picked justices. And I don't mean the President Obama. I mean the president,
period,
all the way back to FDR and Wilson, you know, has picked justices that will prefer the power of the presidency over the power of Congress, right, the power of the people. You know, because the true power of government should rest with the people. It should rest with Congress. It shouldn't rest with the administrative branch. And we as Americans give far too much deference and credit and blame to the president because everything should be done by the – you know, we all look at Obama to fix healthcare and all this other stuff. It really should be Congress fixing it. And the system is supposed to be painfully slow. And the reason it's supposed to be painfully slow is because then government does less. And so you have more individual liberty. And by emphasizing presidential power, it makes the system faster, more efficient, like a dictatorship. And then you end up with a dictatorship. And you end up with an empire. You end up losing a republic. And that is the road that I fear we're heading down. And the more executive privilege that we give, the less power we have as individuals and as Americans. So
it's a bullcrap argument anyway, executive privilege. Executive privilege is exactly what the Constitution says it is. And if they say executive privilege is anything more, then it's not.
Mm-hmm.
So if Obama's coming in here and say if Congress is using a duly justified power according to the Constitution.
But Creighton, the Constitution isn't a valid argument here.
I know it's not. But it
it doesn't matter what the Constitution says.
It doesn't.
You're right.
Not anymore.
You're right. I'm glad you finally caught on that no one in the government gives a crap about the Constitution. So, all right. I guess that's a little too cynical, okay? Because we have complimented
a few.
Complimented some people in the past, saying, you know, what was it a couple episodes ago where we talked about, you know, hey, look, they're looking at this through the Constitution and not through the eyes of being politicians. So,
some people care, and usually they only care when the other party is the one that they can get on.
And so we'll kind of end on a positive note. We'll try to be uplifting at the end here. You know, these examples of the Tea Party and of, you know, whether or not we as libertarians think that conservatives and Tea Partiers and Republicans are all just sort of being disingenuous and pandering when they talk about freedom and liberty and the Constitution and sound money and, you know, it is starting to have an effect, and hopefully it keeps creeping into their vernacular and they start to – they've always sounded like libertarians, but maybe they'll actually start doing the stuff that libertarians talk about. And the more that libertarians get out and the more that we're active and the harder Libertarian Party candidates run and try to shame Republicans and Democrats into doing the right thing, then the stronger the movement will be. And over the last 4 years, it's hard to turn on a political talk show in Indiana or nationally and not hear the word libertarian if you listen long enough. Yeah. You know, so
I have a positive thing we can end on.
All right,
Can I end with my negative thing so you can
sure.
bring it as
right.
backup?
We'll flip flop.
Right. I was watching. Honestly, I don't ever watch the news, but I was watching the news yesterday about this healthcare thing with an average Joe American,
mm-hmm.
And they talked for like an hour and a half about healthcare and blah, blah, blah. And the average Joe American was all into it. He was listening. He was thinking. And then they switched over to the Eric Holder story. And all of a sudden, I watched this Average Joe America lose interest.
Completely.
Not care at all. Missed the whole story. And when I tried to explain it to him at the end, he listened to me for a second. And I said, you know, he said, this could lead all the way to Obama. It really could. And he said, they can't do anything to Obama. He can do whatever he wants. And that is honestly what people think now.
Mm-hmm.
So, but those same people that think that don't do anything.
It's because Congress is letting him do whatever he wants. Why wouldn't they think that?
And
every time Obama does something he's not supposed to, Congress doesn't do anything about it.
And then when they do something, it looks like a cheap political ploy to bring him up on charges,
right.
Which was all started by the House Republicans with Clinton, and then now they did it to Bush, and now, you know, it's... So, yeah, listen, this has probably been our most cynical episode.
Yeah, I just wanted to throw that in there is I don't see very many opportunities to see what normal people think.
But
I guess.
You know what?
People that don't sit at the computer and read.
That's been the message of sort of the thread of this show, which is you have to evangelize the message.
Yeah.
And I use that word intentionally. You have to talk to people around you that you see in your daily life that aren't libertarians. Libertarians love to talk to other libertarians and try to get other libertarians to be...
They want to argue intellectual property.
They want to be more libertarian. You know, like, listen, Chris Galt, you and I need to have a long conversation about
because
how to make...
Because you shouldn't care about borders.
Well, no. You and I need to talk to make you more libertarian. We need to start talking to the cleaning lady at our office, to the doctor. Talk to the dentist. I mean, he can understand you when you're going... So talk to people in your life, your family, the regular Joes about this stuff. And, you know, if they're interested in the Obamacare stuff, I promise you, the more you have those conversations, the more you kind of talk with them about these issues, it may take a year, it may take 10 years, but eventually they're going to get it because something is going to happen or something will happen in their lives where they will see the government the way that you see the government.
I don't know. I feel like sometimes it's like that Family Guy episode where Lois only got any political points whenever she said 9/11. 9/11. 9/11.
Thank you, Mike Pence.
Oh, we didn't talk about that, but we got
anyway, the positive note I was going to say we can end on is that Audit the Fed made it through committee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is good.
It only took Ron Paul 30 years,
I talked
but
about
it happened.
Like 2 weeks ago that they were going to actually pass the real one this
But it
time.
Made it through
or
committee.
At least
it made
let it go.
Through.
Let it try.
It
they
made
promised
it through committee.
Ron Paul before he retired.
Right. But again, that's
would try it.
Breaking news, guys.
What?
Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes are divorcing.
Oh, my God. All right. We're
things
people
sad.
Care about.
Oh, and
anyway.
Hey, but also in, Katie filed for divorce from Tom Cruise. And in lesser news, the House passes the transportation bill that includes provision to stop student loan rate increases. So you boys will be paying less for your college education that you're getting from the government.
Student loan rate
but it's
increases?
Still more because
no,
the
we're not. All they're doing is the principal is going to go up.
Can't you just be grateful when your government does something nice for you? This is the problem with this podcast. The government tries to do good things for you, too, and you never have a nice word to say to the government.
Next week, we're going to have to talk.
And if you don't start saying nice things to the government, they're going to make sure that you stop saying bad things about them.
We're going to have to talk public schools.
Public schools?
Yeah. We're going to have to talk colleges, professors, state.
It's also the reason I can't read.
Right. I never learned to read.
All right, guys, thanks for joining us. We hope that you'll tune in next week. We promise we will be less depressed,
maybe,
less cynical,
not
and less
if we're
angry.
Talking public schools.
Maybe true.
It's hard being libertarian. It's hard to talk about good things. Cause
check out my blog. I'm actually Economics in One Lesson is just the beginning. I planned for mostly for my own sake, but for those who want to
human action.
I'm actually going to do a lot of books. My goal is that if I read the book, take notes on it, and post it online, it'll give me a reason to actually remember it more. Some of these books are huge, and you don't remember much of it. So I'm doing Economics in One Lesson now. I think next I'm doing another one. And then here, a book or two, is Man, Economy, and State, which is a big one.
Okay.
So if you guys want to basically piggyback off of my reading, then check out my blog in the near...
And check out my blog at chrisspangle.com. I will be reviewing Hop on Pop. and going through that. So, all right, we'll see you next.
Mr. Popper's
He's
going to
do a review of his Snoopy Pez dispenser.
Big Trouble in Walla Walla.
Listen, an exciting development in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory last night. So tune into ChrisSpangle.com. All right, guys, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week. All right, boys, here we go. Ready?
Yeah, when you left and Creighton was just like, yeah. Oh, I forgot what I was going to say.
All right, here we go.
And it was just like, okay.
What an idiot.
You got to plug it in, bro.
This podcast is produced by What is a Hoosier Productions.